The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Hey there, welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. I'm so excited to sit down with my next guest because Colby and I have known each other like, 12, 15 years. It's been a very long time. And funny story is, we were actually pitched and auditioned to host our own reality show together. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was definitely an experience. I couldn't forget.
It was a very strange experience. So, but welcome back. I'm Beth Allen. I'm the host of The Empowered Homeowner. I am a DIY expert, contractor, and educator. And I'm happy today to talk to Colby and Jenny Carr of Carr Home. We're going to talk about the process of doing a renovation in your house and what the experience can be and learn what makes a quality experience with a renovation so that you make good choices, because these are big ticket projects and you want to make sure you have a quality group of people that are working with you and helping you get this done. So thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us. Thank it's exciting. You.
Very excited. So, Colby, do you remember that first project that we did together at the swim club?
I do. It was a sewer hookup at the Hideaway Swim Club in Horsham, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And you were just starting the business.
I was. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. You were just a newbie at that. So tell me about your home improvement experience and a little bit of the family history, you know, how many of you are and some of the life lessons you learned from your dad.
My father was definitely a legend. Him and my mother had a very tight marriage. They raised 9 children together. I'm one of 9. I feel like my entire growing up was around remodeling, building, working on my family's 50-acre estate in Horsham. Anything from building a new structure to maintaining the current structures to, you know, hauling dirt from one side of the property to the other. My father was definitely happiest on his heavy equipment, his backhoes, his bulldozers. That's what he loved to do.
Yeah. So you were getting down and dirty from a young age.
I was, and I loved it. I remember operating my first backhoe when I was 8 years old.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine putting your 8-year-old on a backhoe?
No. My dad was not afraid to teach us good work ethic, you know, get up early, get a good day's work in, and work hard for what you have.
Yeah. And it shows. I've seen that in all of the family members that I've met, that you guys have that kind of ethic and that tight family and, you know, and those values, you know, that kind of drive the work that you do. So your dad didn't work in construction, though.
My father was in the automotive industry, but with a mixture of being an entrepreneur his entire life. He founded his first business when he was 16 years old in the delivery, home heating oil delivery business.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So yeah, my father was in the automotive business.
In Chalfont?
In Chalfont, Pennsylvania. He had 2 auto repair shops and a gas station.
Okay.
Later on in his life, he owned a lot of rental properties, real estate, little strip malls. That's where I found myself fixing up his rental properties, really diving into the remodeling business. It was more all along the commercial side of fixing up storefronts, his auto repair shops. Then I dabbled into his residential remodeling.
Okay.
Where he, I got involved in fixing up his rental properties.
So you've had this hands-on experience a long time. You've done the grunt work. You've worked your way up to delegating.
Yes. Yeah. And then in high school, I was part of the tech school, Eastern Center for Arts and Technology.
Okay. You went to the Eastern. Okay.
I did. Awesome. Yeah. I took up construction. At the same time, I worked as my father maintaining his rental properties, like I said. But that's where I really grew into loving fixing up and remodeling different properties.
Well, I didn't know that you went to Eastern. So you studied construction there. Was there any, like, subset or anything? Was it more of a general?
It started out with plumbing. I had Mr. Cooper in 9th and 10th grade. Mr. Cooper was definitely a legend. That's where I learned how to sweat my own valves and cut and solder, et cetera. And then it turned into the electrical and general carpentry.
Okay. And speaking of general carpentry, I remember Colby bailed me out big time once. I was doing a project for a friend, and there's a thing called coping in carpentry when you have to cut the edge of the crown to get it to match up. And I can't cope, okay? I cannot cope to save my life.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. I was trying. I don't know how many pieces of wood I went through, and I was like, screw this. And I called him, and I'm like, can you please just come over and cope this one piece? And he coped it. And I think I dropped off a bottle of wine or something. I was like, thank you. I was like, I can't get this. And there's a knack to that.
There is. It definitely takes time to learn it. But once you have it, it's priceless, right? Because it's the right way to do an install of crown molding.
Right. And I still can't cope. I still don't know how to do it well. I just stick with the miter saw. That's 45, and it's not a perfect 90, but
there you,
you know, that's what
caulk is for. Yes.
That is what your painter's caulk is for, fill in all those gaps and cracks. So when you decided to move into your own construction business, you know, what was some of the impetus for all of that?
You know, early on in my career, I was a one-man band working out of my pickup truck. And I got to the point where I was sending families on wild goose chases, you know, husband, wife, some young children. You have to get in your car. You have to drive to multiple different spots to build your project out, to select anything from your cabinets to the countertops to your tile. And it became tiresome for myself. And I was just pointing and guiding those customers to do so.
So you were telling people, go here to pick out your cabinets. Go here to get this and that. And you were like,
yes.
Done.
Yeah, it was just a matter of common sense to say, you know, we should bring everything under one roof and make it easier for the person. Make it a better experience.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You know, instead of having to shop around, it's like having a health center instead of having to go everywhere to find the right doctor.
Yeah,
put exactly.
Them all into one location. I often bring things back to medicine because even though I don't work as a nurse actively, you still can't take the nurse out of me. So when did you two decide to do this? And tell me a little bit about each of your roles.
Back in 2016 is when it started. And, you know, my father got sick with cancer at the time.
Yeah.
And when you start to lose someone you love, you say to yourself, you know, life is short. Why not go all in on something? So our all in was take about $1 million that we saved up over a long period of time that was for our dream house. And we spent every last penny and some back in 2016, 2017, remodeling a 20,000 square foot building.
And that was the strip where your dad had the car shop.
It was the strip. It was my parents' pride possession, a property my parents bought back in 1960, 60, 61. It was a Sunoco gas station. It burnt down in the 90s due to an electrical fire.
Yeah. My
dad rebuilt it in phases, but fast track to 2016, 2017, me and Jenny purchased the property from the estate.
Okay.
And we remodeled his prized possession, which turned into being our baby, our prized possession.
Yeah. That's awesome. I just love all the family ties, you know. Mm-hmm.
It makes the journey, it makes the trip a little more compassionate.
Yeah, and it has a lot of meaning. From the time I met you, I knew like you guys were just very family people. So Jenny, what is your journey in this and what is your role right now at Carr Home?
So we started out, obviously Colby was working out of his pickup like he just explained. And I've always kind of had a passion for reconfiguring rooms in the house and styling certain areas. Mm-hmm. So we had our first son. Little Colby.
And who's now, what, 13?
14. 14. He just turned.
Oh my gosh, I remember when he was.
Yes. So we were like, let's really make this a family business. So Colby is the construction end, and I help guide and design the projects with the customer.
Awesome.
And help them step by step. You know, it's an overwhelming process if somebody's absolutely. Walking into it and they don't know where to start or where to begin. So we're there to help guide each step and make it a less stressful.
You have a very beautiful design eye. I've seen some of the things that you've put together and really, really classic.
My biggest goal, though, is no kitchen should be the same. You know, Pinterest is out there, so lot of kitchens tend to look the same because they just see Pinterest and they're like, oh, I love this, this, and this.
Yes.
And so a lot of people see that. But my main focus is on the function and flow of everyone's lifestyle. That's kind of like my passion, is getting to know the customer and how they function and flow, because no family should be functions and flows the same way.
Absolutely.
And so no kitchen, therefore, should be designed the same way.
Well, and if you look on the design shows and Pinterest, House, any of these things, all you see is the same trend.
Yes.
You know, like, what, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we had the Gaines approach, you know, where everything had that same look.
Shiplap.
Yes.
It's all it's shiplap and neutrals, and everything was white walls. And then, you know, you go to a new trend and it's all gold and glam and, you know. But maybe that's not your style. Mm-hmm. And again, what is that form and function? Mm-hmm. How do you use your space?
Yeah, your kitchen should function and flow for you and your family. Yeah. Make life easy. Life is crazy enough, and like it should be a seamless dinner time.
Something unique that we try to let customers know before our first meeting is don't clean your space before we come. Meaning, like, we like to walk in and see how you use your space.
That's horrifying.
And some people can't get over it. We want to see what's out on your countertops. Is it a blender? Is it an air fryer? Is it a Vitamix?
Right.
We need to see where your bread is sitting, and do you have chips and different vegetables that need a home, right?
Exactly. Because that is so important. Because if we have a party and we put all that stuff away, what do we live day to day?
Yes.
You know, like, I'll tell you right now, in my own bathroom, I'm going to be doing a project. We have the open counter, and we now both have the plug-in toothbrushes. Well, they don't have a home, and the cord's
That's a
hanging,
problem.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So I'm going to take down the big, stupid wide mirror, and I'm going to build a vertical storage column.
You need it.
Nice.
And I'm going to put a new plug-in
and
put the outlet so that the toothbrushes have a cubby. They have a space, because I don't want to see the toothbrushes.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
You know? But we need them. We're not going to put them away. You're not going to put the Vitamix. You're not going to put the air fryer.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very happy that I bought a new air fryer, and the cabinet in the kitchen is deep enough that
perfect.
I can put it away. I'm like, oh, thank God. But the fact that you encourage people to leave their home messy is really a smart move.
And, you know, a lot of people get very embarrassed by that, and they shouldn't be. We've seen it all. And so sometimes we'll get customers, we'll go in there, we'll ask our series of questions, and then they'll actually text or email me a photo after the meeting and say, listen, we didn't really have everything out like we usually do. Here's the real photo.
Right. Because it's real life.
Yes.
And if our spaces, especially the kitchen, don't function well for the family, you'll never be able to be on top of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything has a home, a car home, right? If everything comes home, it gets put away.
And you don't mind those cleanup times at nighttime after dinner. You don't mind doing the dishes and putting them away because it has a home. It's when you're stuffing things into places that they don't belong is when it becomes very frustrating.
Yeah, it's very overwhelming because that clutter is unsettling. And all these new studies psychologically are coming out that the clutter adds to ADHD. It adds to anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have that space that you feel you have control of, Lord knows we don't have control over the rest of the world. But if we can feel like we have control over our spaces, that's huge. Yeah.
Especially when you wake up, you want to be in a good mood. You don't want that the chaos to start.
Yeah.
And that's why we chose like kitchens and baths to focus on. Because the kitchen is the heart of the home, and that's where you are probably 90% of the time. Food is like
life.
Food is life. You are there for everything, gatherings. It doesn't matter how many tables you have around. People are standing at your island with you. They're communicating with you. And then the bathroom. You wake up every morning and you go to the bathroom, and then when you go to bed at night, you're ending your night and your day in that bathroom. So it was really important to use the two really focus on the two main rooms of the house
yeah.
that you're always in.
I think that's really smart. So tell me about the Carr Home, where it's located, and tell me about the showroom.
We are located in Chalfont, Pennsylvania. We our showroom, the display area, is about 4,000 square feet.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah, it's coming up on 8 years old. And we still get, I had a gentleman walk in yesterday, first time there, and his jaw was on the floor. This is absolutely beautiful. And I broke some news to him that shocked him. I said, well, we're getting ready to completely gut the entire showroom. And he said, why? This is beautiful. It looks brand new. I said, you know, we can always get better. We can bring in, we want to bring in new technology, new displays, new products that aren't, not many people are using in our area, our competitors. And it blew him away by me telling him that.
Awesome. What's the favorite part of your showroom that you hate to give up?
That's a great question.
I love my reception desk area. I do. It's really pretty with the chandeliers, the white inset cabinets. You know, I always say white is such a beautiful color because you can always dress it up, warm it up, cool it down.
Absolutely.
And so I always love that staple, but there's other areas yeah. that work.
I love a white kitchen.
Yes.
It's timeless.
It is.
You
it
know,
is.
Colors of wood and the tones, they go in mm-hmm. and out of style. Mm-hmm. But white, you can always change
oh
up
goodness.
The walls, the hardware, all of that. And
a white kitchen during the holidays is stunning.
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all for that. So are you focused primarily on kitchens and baths, or are you doing other stuff? I mean, you did my roof years ago, which... Gosh, going on 10 years and still good. No leaks.
No leaks.
I'd be calling you if it was, but no, we're good.
So our main focus is kitchens and baths. But with that being said, I think last year I did 28 roofs. We okay. do a lot of siding. We do decks. We do additions.
Okay.
I have three massive additions going on as we speak.
Okay.
So I think with kitchens and baths being our number one focus, a lot of things play into that.
Right. So you have people that you've done the kitchen and now they're like, oh, can we do an addition? Can we do the basement?
You know? Yeah. Once you gain someone's trust, they want to keep using you. And that's our referral basis is huge.
Right. And I know that because I've seen your work and, you know, I've called Colby and said, hey, I have somebody that needs X, Y, and Z. And he's like, I can't. I don't have the time. We're booked. And because I trust him. So it's nice to have people that you know do quality work that you can
yes.
send out into the world. So in speaking of the trends that you want to incorporate into the showroom remodel, what is some of that technology trend that you're alluding to that you can clue us in on?
Better 3D renderings, higher quality, and I guess that's wrapped around a quicker turnover time.
Okay.
We've always had very high renderings, but they take 2 to 3 weeks to do to
okay.
get the final look ironed out. It would be bigger screens, bigger monitors, you know, have the customer be more of a part of drawing that out in person.
Okay. So that they feel more a piece of it. So how does a project work with you? When somebody first calls, can you kind of walk us through the process that you use?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a customer intake form. We get all of your information. We come out to your space. And I have a series
unannounced,
of-
so you see the dirt, right?
yes. I have a series of questions that I ask you. It would be Colby and myself.
Okay.
And then we get to know more about the project, what they're looking to do. And then we would send you a preliminary proposal based upon everything that we have discussed on site. And that's a preliminary proposal. So basically, there is a fluctuation in there because
yeah.
I don't know what you're going to select.
Exactly.
So
it's you know, A, B, and C options. And
yes.
Where
yes.
are they going to funnel down?
Exactly. So if the customer feels comfortable within that preliminary proposal number, then we move into a design phase. And that's when, you know, I use all of the questions that I ask and everything, and I pull all of the items. But my main focus is function and flow. So we don't show anything pretty right away.
That's smart because once you start
yes.
showing off the pretty handles, people are done.
Yeah.
They're
oh, yeah.
like, ooh, that's what I want.
And they're sidetracked and then they're not focused on, oh, you know what? I actually need this. So we focus on that and then we turn it over. As long as that's great, then we pick out the final selections, mm-hmm. and then we get it rendered really beautiful.
Okay.
So, you know, a kitchen, a bathroom, they're all like big investments, know, so you should be able to see yes. what you're investing in.
Right.
And, you know, not everybody has that visual and can see it
right.
with a black and white drawing.
Oh, absolutely. Like so, I can tell you and I could look at a pile of carpet, countertop, a drawer handle and be like, oh,
yes.
But many people are like, what is this going to look like? And
exactly.
to be able to give them that visual. So yeah. So you're giving them color?
We're giving them very realistic color renderings.
Okay.
And then they're like, okay, like this is it. This is good. And then we give them their final proposal based off of everything. And, you know, we help guide them, you know, like if you want to stay on the lower end of that budget, like we have to pick right. from these selections. But you're more than welcome to go look at something that's more expensive.
Right. Even something, I shouldn't say it's a simple, but people don't understand, you know, granite.
Yes.
You know, that yeah. granite, the high end of granite doesn't mean it's any better a surface. It's more exotic. It's mm-hmm. more interesting.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
so do you want the more speckled that
oh, yeah.
you can't see the ants on, you know, that we all hate, right? You can't see the crumbs. Or do you want the granite with the big dramatic swoosh through the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all solid granite. It's how much of your budget do you want to put
exactly.
on your what, drama of your granite versus
what's
elsewhere?
The most important for you to focus your yeah. budget on? Are you a big cook? Is the appliance the really main
right.
focus? Or is it your countertops that are going to be heavily used all the time?
Right.
The cabinetry, the quality of the cabinetry. You know, we like to provide quality everything. So that's very important to us. So we just guide them with the whole selection process. It's usually not that long of a process.
Right.
And then we give a very detailed schedule, which is also a very important part of our process. And then we get scheduled and everything flows nice and easy from there.
That's awesome. What are you seeing a typical kitchen? Say, you know, a kitchen that's, oh, I don't know. But a 1,000 square foot kitchen. It's a big kitchen. What is the turnover? How many weeks?
So it all comes into, are we taking down a wall? Is it structural? So that plays 2 or 3 weeks into the equation.
Okay.
Out of the gate, I would say 7 to 8 weeks. Now,
okay.
we're known to have very tight schedules, but comfortable at the same time. My number one goal is to finish ahead of schedule. Because at the end of the project, the punch list needs to be a part of the initial schedule to finish okay. at that completion date, which is very big to us, right? So imagine us, we set milestones. One of the first milestones in the beginning of the project is ordering the cabinetry, right? The cabinetry takes the longest to get.
Okay.
Once we get that delivery date for the cabinets, we have a tractor trailer coming that day of that week. And we don't move that, right? Meaning when that tractor trailer pulls up, we like to be setting the cabinets as soon as they're offloaded from that truck.
Okay. So you're rolling them right out and...
Roll them right out and put them in.
Uppers first?
No, actually.
You like to do...
We do the lowers first,
okay.
right? To expedite the schedule. Meaning if we set the base cabinets mm-hmm. first, then we can get the countertop templated. While the countertop
right.
company's fabricating the tops, we can then be working on those uppers, the final crown molding, doing the coping of the crown molding.
Oh, yeah, that I can't do.
and that's help us. It helps us with the schedule.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. It may not to our listeners who've never done kitchens, but I certainly understand that. Yeah, that's really great. One of the things we had talked about weeks ago on the phone was – what you guys do to help other, how to help the homeowners not be so disrupted. So you do like a little package to help them through the kitchen experience. Tell me about that.
We do. We give out a car home care package. It consists of paper plates, plastic utensils, a little care package. We always give them a countertop microwave to use and a hot plate. We will also set them up a temporary kitchen, right? The temporary kitchen normally consists of moving their current refrigerator to that space, a Rubbermaid table. In the past couple of months, we've gone above and over the top with customers with young kids by even hooking up a sink for them. And even a dishwasher in one situation.
Wow. Because
the project was... The
a project whole home was, remodel, basically.
Oh, so everything was a mess.
Yeah. We had to get them through as comfortable as possible.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where that sink and dishwasher was utilized.
That's a great idea. Where'd you set up a sink?
In their living room.
In the living room.
Yeah, we positioned it so the utility room in the basement was right above that space.
Oh, so you ran the lines from that up.
Exactly.
And created a temp sink. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
I mean, they were getting all new flooring and everything.
Yeah, so it was so like, so if we have some little spills, we're good, right? You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's a really great idea. I remember when I did my own kitchen, you know, 13 years ago, and because I had super control over it, it was great because I literally cut the Formica of my old countertops and left the cabinet base. Mm-hmm. And I gutted the rest of the room, but I left my sink until I was ready to do that sink.
I remember when you did that.
And it was great because I was like, I'm not disrupted because I was in control. But not everybody's doing their own kitchens. So, you know, a lot of things I learned from that I would do differently now. But, you know, a lot of growth in 13 years. So, well, guys, I want to take a pause. I always take a moment to shout out to our nonprofit partners. And this quarter, it is Laurel House, and they are the Montgomery County Domestic Violence Shelter Program. So we'll take a moment to hear from them.
In 80, Laurel House has been a lifeline for domestic violence survivors in Montgomery County, offering a safe shelter, a 24/7 hotline, trauma counseling, relationship education for teens, court accompaniment, and medical advocacy. But there's more work to do. Together, we can end domestic violence and help families rebuild their lives, whether it's volunteering at their thrift shops, assisting with childcare, or becoming a text line responder. Your time can make a real impact. With training and support, you can become an advocate for survivors in our community. To learn more about volunteering, donating, or simply offering your support, visit laurelhouse.org or call 610-277-1860. Every action counts. Together, we can make a difference. When the seniors in your life are facing a new chapter, the journey can be overwhelming. At Senior Transition Services, they understand that relocating isn't just about moving things. It's about honoring a lifetime of memories while preparing for a new lifestyle. While serving Bucks and Montgomery counties, the Main Line, and Northeast Philadelphia, they provide expert move preparation and downsizing assistance with a focus on empathy and compassion. They guide you and your loved ones every step of the way, identifying which items could be moved, ensuring that treasured belongings find new homes and cherished memories are preserved. Embrace this new phase of life with confidence and peace of mind. Senior Transition Services, where your past is honored and your future is embraced. Call today at 215-947-5490.
So back to learning more about Car Home, and what makes you guys different from the other folks? I mean, aside from Colby being at the head, because I've known him and I'm a little partial, what are some of the unique approaches that you are bringing to the package of these renovations?
After 22 years of doing what I do every day, over that time, it's core values is what hits hard for me. And my core values are pride in appearance, being enthusiastic, being a team player, being skilled, being respectful, and solutions oriented. They hit hard for me. They do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would absolutely stand by that just from knowing, you know, your approach over the years. So when you are dealing with the team players, what are some of the things that you do with your team to kind of keep them motivated, to keep them, you told me you've had employees that have been with you a long time.
Yes. I have pictures of me when I was growing up hanging on a gentleman's tool belt by the name of Rich, who was one of my employees.
And oh, wow.
It goes deeper than just my life. It's he was part of my father's team back in the day.
Wow. That's really cool. You need to share that picture on social media.
I should, actually.
Like, that's a fun story.
Yes, and there's a lot of other things that go around being a team player. It's training when training's available to them. It's team meetings on a regular basis. It's reminding them to take pride in their work, be solutions-oriented. Goes a long way.
Yeah, and just the respect and the quality of the team players, because I'll never forget, you know, when we had our roof done, you know, everybody on site was just professional and polite. And I'll never forget, and this is important, if you have a roof done, folks, it's important that the crew takes a magnetic tool and goes over your yard,
yes,
to collect any random nails, especially if you have pets. And Colby was like on that to make sure that that was done, because we have a dog. And it's just those little things to make sure that you've delivered something that the homeowner walks away going, wow, I'm really glad I hired that crew.
Yeah, and it goes deeper than just using a magnet to pick up a nail in the yard. It goes, you know, bend over and pick up that piece of trash. If I can see the piece of trash in the grass, that means the homeowner can and the neighbors can, right?
Yeah.
So take a couple extra steps, bend over and pick the piece of trash up and get it to the dumpster.
Yes. You don't leave the shingles in the shrubs, because we've all seen that there's shingles, you know, stuck in somebody's shrubs. Mm-hmm. And you're like, who did that? You know, why would somebody do that?
The wind could have done it, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go and pick it up.
That's part of that final inspection, is taking time to walk the process and understand. What do you find are some of the biggest challenges that you have with customers in going through this process? Is it they don't expect how disruptive it might be, or is it they want all these things and then they realize the budget? Like, is it budget? Is it expectations? All of it?
I would definitely say in today's world, it's definitely the budget. With the way the economy is right now, it's very tough, because we wouldn't even think we would be doing kitchens for a certain amount of money 5 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago, even down to a year ago.
Yeah.
We had a customer recently come in. She went into a kitchen that we did 1 year ago, just 1 year. And she was like, I love everything. I want everything the exact same way. So, like, we pulled up all of our selection sheets and everything from the kitchen that we did a year ago. And the sink faucets were, what, 7?
It was up over 85% from a year ago.
Wow. Yes.
Just one plumbing faucet.
Just
so
one faucet, yeah.
To me, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Is because you want to design them
their dream space.
But it's like, okay, how do we do this?
Yeah.
Keeping costs down and not having it look like every other kitchen.
Right. Yeah. And I guess reeling in some of those expectations.
Yes.
You know, I want my dream kitchen, but I want it for $25,000.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. $25,000 isn't going to cover your cabinets.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that is the toughest part of our job.
That is, sure. Yeah. Honestly, the toughest
sticker
part.
Sticker shock.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Is just figuring out that piece of it.
Yeah. And especially, I would say, bathrooms are harder than kitchens.
Really?
Because, you know, a primary bathroom can be very expensive now. And, you know, people can justify putting that amount of money into a kitchen where everyone enjoys that room. Mm. But it's like a primary bathroom. It's usually
just
you
two
and your spouse. And so not many people can justify putting that much into the primary bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, we have customers all over that, you know, we don't have those issues with, and some that we do. But we want to make everybody happy as best as we can.
And it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
We went short on the kids' bathroom, because I'm like, you know what? The master bath got more attention than the kids'
bath.
Well,
that's what we see.
That's typically what happens, is people will spend less in their hall bathroom and spend a little bit more in their master suite. It's just the cost to put certain fixtures, you don't even think how much a tub and a tub filler adds to a project.
Yeah, absolutely.
A free-soaking tub, and it really adds a lot. So, I mean, we definitely have ways to, like, help suggest bringing numbers down and everything to guide you. It's just a hard thing to overcome in the beginning, I would say.
Yeah.
It is.
Because you have to think about that piece of, I'm making a major investment into my house. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a quick weekend remodel.
Exactly.
Because I'm sure you do a bathroom in 4 days, like, you know, the TV shows, right?
We wish we could.
Oh, my God. The truck rolls up, and hey, 4 days later, wow, look, we have this beautiful bath. Oh, my gosh, those shows do such disservice.
Yes.
They do. 1,000%. I feel like the areas they're filmed in potentially affect that. You know, Texas is one of them.
Yeah.
They come
Everything's
to you,
cheaper down there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They think they can do a master bathroom remodel for $25,000, and it's not realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm asking from a nursing perspective, and I don't know if you're doing this, but I'm going to suggest that you always do it. When you're doing master baths, do you talk about grab bars?
We actually do.
Yes.
Awesome.
All the time.
And so important.
Yes. And if the customer doesn't want them right out of the gate, we'll put blocking in the wall behind for, hey, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road.
Yeah.
The customer doesn't want to imagine them being in that position, but it's a reality. So we always put the blocks in the wall.
Yeah. And this is huge. Anybody that is thinking about a remodeling, even if they're having a home built, you need to make sure that that contractor is blocking that wall for grab bars, because somebody down the road is going to need it. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to find where to put that, you can't find the studs behind the tile.
Yes.
It's such a challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally went down, and I'm doing some volunteer work for a program helping some elderly seniors in North Philly. So I was in this older woman's home the other day, and she needs a grab bar. And it looked like the wall was on the outside of the house. And I'm like, how am I going to find? She has 3 inches of drywall at the top. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to find the stud there and try to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the way she had her bathroom remodeled a few years ago, there's a little crawl space nook in the back. So I have full access. I'm like, yes, I can find
perfect.
It. But this is important because you want to build spaces for the long-term use.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and that goes hand in hand with, do you see yourself having a zero entry shower? That's something we've been doing a lot of recently.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it more the European style that you have it open on one end?
Not typically. You can have a zero entry shower and still have a
door.
Glass door. I feel like the more open styles concepts for the bath shower are better for warmer climate areas.
Oh, absolutely.
If
oh
you like
gosh.
A steamy shower, you're not going to have that here.
No. I love traveling to Europe, but I hate the showers. Like, that's a big thing for us is, will there be a curtain? Will there be a door?
Right.
Yeah. Don't you freeze?
Yes.
So I'm glad that you are thinking about how to keep that cozy. And, you know, one of the things you had done for us in our house was you added a bathroom exhaust fan. Because that was not part of our building, the builder's specs when we bought our house.
Yes.
Because if there's a window in the room, it's by code enough, and it's not enough. So,
it's
folks,
enough.
If you are getting that bathroom remodel, you are getting a roof redone, insist on a vent, and it should never be vented to the attic.
Very smart. Add the exhaust fan in the bathroom, yes.
Yeah, it has to go outside. Are there other things that you find homeowners don't know that you are like, this is a really important piece of a build, of a construction? Even if you don't go with car home, like, these are things that you really want to be looking for in that kitchen or that bath to make sure you're making that space functional for the long haul.
For me, it's right out of the gate. And for me, it's the 3D color renderings before the project starts.
Okay.
Right? For me, like, some of the most important things in my life now happen because I put it on paper. I put it out into the universe. I imagined it. I lived it. I made changes on the front end before it was set in stone.
Okay.
That's my number one. Invest the money in the design phase, the initial color rendering.
Okay.
We do charge a design fee to go into our phase.
Okay.
But that number rolls into the cost of the project. Meaning at the end of the day, at the end of the project, you're not getting charged for that color rendering.
Right.
It's built into the job.
Right. But I'm sure that makes the project so much easier
for mm-hmm. all of you because you have clearer expectations. This is the goal. We yeah. see the goal line. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, hemming and hawing and, oh, well, I didn't think it was going to look like that. Well, we showed you what it was going to look yes. like.
Yes, Jenny is phenomenal at even dropping the pendant light fixtures, mirrors, bar stools, island chairs in the renderings, and then she'll provide a link where to purchase that exact awesome. Fixture.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are like a few items that we don't usually include in our contracts. The labor to install the lights is included. But
sure, you're putting the boxes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, surface that, yeah. fixtures can range all over.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you yeah. you can spend $50 yeah. on a pendant or you could spend $400.
Exactly. So, yeah. So we certainly help throughout that whole process and finding those pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think people realize that the prep and the time and planning is even so much more important than the mm-hmm. actual work day of hanging the stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, we put just as much work in on the back end of a project as we do on the actual project, which is important.
It is, absolutely. And I think it so often does come down to those expectations, mm-hmm. you know. Have you had any crazy requests from homeowners?
Crazy requests, of course. Does one come to mind over another?
I had one. Remember?
No names, just
no names, no names. It was a situation where it was a woman, we're doing this kitchen, and she, you know, you have the soft closed doors on all yeah. your new cabinets. Uh-huh. She requested that we keep one soft close off of one door just so she could let her slam partner it. Know yeah. when she was mad.
That is so funny. Can I tell you, we have soft closures on our drawers, but not on the cabinets, because I like my Irish temper to flare. And then I like to yeah. slam a door there because you can't slam like the laundry room door because they don't bang, you yes. know? So that is so funny.
Yeah. That was a good
so
one.
So it was a specific door and everything. It was
I feel that. My Irish bones feel that. You got to be able to slam a door.
Yes.
You know, it's an easy way to let it out mm-hmm. and not cause too much trauma in your house. When you are working with your homeowners, are you finding a lot of requests about sustainable products and energy efficiency? Like, are people coming to you? Are you suggesting? Like, where is that trend going?
So I don't really see a trend in that exactly. Maybe like with roofs and insulation, those type of areas, keeping the rooms cool. But I do see a huge trend that is here to stay, and it's health and fitness. Mm-hmm. And like, how that reflects in a home remodel, they come hand in hand. You know, okay. you're investing a lot in your house, and you're going to invest a lot in your health. So something that is huge and important to us is like the water you drink out of your spigot.
Right.
We offer whole home water filtrations.
Okay.
And that's pretty incredible. And also we find that eating healthier, having the healthier food easier access for younger children as well.
Okay.
So they're not grabbing like
chips and Oreos.
Yeah,
nothing against an Oreo, but you know.
Right. We've been involved in projects recently where people are veering away from the alcohol bar and it's yeah. more of like a health bar, yeah. meaning like fruits and vegetables in a certain dedicated refrigerator, not oh. the wine refrigerator, right?
Right,
yeah.
Whole house water filtration, we offer just under the sink water filtration if you don't want to go okay. to the whole house.
Okay.
Different HEPA air filters, upgrading the humidifier,
okay.
dehumidifier system. Health is big.
Yeah, it all affects you. You know, you're in the shower and your hair, your water is not filtered and you spend a ton of money on your hair to get colored.
Soft hair.
And then it like affects the chlorine in the water. Everything affects everything.
Yes.
We can basically
yeah,
say.
Things are so interconnected.
Yes,
I mean, I know if our water softener runs out of pellets, mm-hmm. I'll say to my husband, can you go dump a bag in? Because I feel it in my hair.
I feel
it in my hair. It feels dry and coarse.
Yeah.
And it's just those simple little things. But sure, making sure that we have cleaner water, cleaner mm-hmm. air. I just,
2 weeks ago, I did a whole solo episode here talking about filters.
Okay. Yeah.
And we talked about water filters, air filters, even the lint trap, you know, like that's a filter.
Yeah.
The dishwasher has a filter. All of these things that are just maintenance. So I'm glad that you're thinking about that. But I love the idea of like that snack counter instead of a bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Being able to just grab your healthier options, making them easily accessible as opposed to like going all the way in the pantry or all the way in this area and making it easier to grab.
Yeah. Especially with little kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If they can see like a glass refrigerator with fresh fruit cut up, they want that.
Right. Well, certainly. I mean, if somebody were to hand me fresh fruit every morning, I would be picking at it.
Yes.
I don't want to have to chop it up and wash it. You know, it's like, do the work for me.
We've actually been hiding microwaves, too, out of sight, out of mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walk-in pantries are big if the space calls for it.
Oh, I would love one.
And then that microwave is in that space. Some people are believers that microwaves are not good for you.
Right. And we should use less microwave. You know, I don't cook with it. I just, you know, use it to heat up water or, you know, but I don't cook in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's big.
It's definitely.
Yeah, that's really an important thing. Are you finding any issues with the gas stoves? The people choosing electric over gas?
Honestly, we have not hit that yet. Not many people. It's either induction or gas, typically.
Okay.
Gas is normally the number one option. It cooks quicker, more efficient.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Electric is a secondary option if they don't have gas.
Yeah.
We've added propane tanks to people's side yards just to hook up a range.
Oh, so that they have a propane-based.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
LP over natural gas.
If anybody's questioning that natural gas in the home, they'll go with an induction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be lost without my gas stove.
I know. Me too.
I like to cook, and you need gas. It's hard to cook on an electric stove. Mm-hmm. But I get there's with anything, and you know I've had people say to me, oh, you know, as a DIYer, you know, would you hook up a gas line? I'm like, no. Like that's when you call a professional. You want to have that plumber come in and hook up that gas line.
Yes.
To make sure that is something that has potential danger, and you have to do it properly, and that's important. Over your years of work, what type of warranties and guarantees in the work and in the products, what kind of things are you looking to gather for your customers in terms of the vendors you're using and what you're passing on?
Something big with us is using quality products, and the quality products normally come with a lifetime warranty. Under the state of Pennsylvania, I'm liable to warranty my craftsmanship for 2 years.
Right.
But I'm very verbal on to me, it's a lifetime warranty. I'm not going anywhere. You know, me and Jenny built our business to give it to our kids someday. Customer satisfaction is huge. If there's something that you would like me to touch up or address, I'm here and I'll fix it, whether it's 2 years down the road or 10 years down the road. And that's big to me.
Okay. So if I have a loose shingle, I'm going to call you and you can hop up on my window.
15, 20 years, yes.
I'm just kidding.
Lifetime.
You know, when we're both in our 70s and, well, I'm older, you know, I'll have you up on the roof fixing the shutters.
Yeah, I love what I do and I'm here to do that.
Yeah. Well, and that matters a lot because there are so many fly-by-night contractors and people don't understand if you want quality, yes, you're going to have to pay a little bit more for it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can get the fly-by-night guy who's going to do it for maybe 30% less, but is he going to be there when you need something?
Yeah. One of the toughest things that I see is someone calls me and said, I hired someone, they remodeled my bathroom, or at least tried to remodel my bathroom for $7,500. 2 weeks later, it's leaking, I threw the guy off the job, or the guy left and won't answer my phone call. Here's the toughest part of that. They just spent $7,500. Now I have to go and start the whole process from scratch, and my price is going to be double or triple that to do the job the right way.
Right.
So not only are they paying the retail cost, but they already paid extra.
Right. And they got nothing of use out of it.
It's really tough for me to see them swallow that.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have went through it from the beginning.
Right. And so many homeowners don't understand that, you know, you have to vet your contractor. You need to go and see the work. You know, mm-hmm. you want to hear from people that have used them. And also the whole deposit conversation. People don't understand that they should never be putting more than 30% down.
Correct. You should never put more than the special order material. Any distributor charges you for the special order material at the time the order is placed. And that money should be taken from the homeowner and given to the company just for those materials, but okay. no more than 30%.
Yeah. And I know of people that have paid 50%, have paid 70%, and the guy doesn't show.
Yeah, that's tough to see.
Yeah. And you need a written contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a very detailed proposal. Our proposals are sometimes 15, sometimes 20 pages long. And it breaks it down from start to finish, meaning site prep, protections, cleanup is a line item. Demolition, trash removal, porta potty fee. The plumbing is a line item, the electrical, the cabinetry, the labor to install the cabinetry. So we're very transparent.
And it definitely helps for the customer to see how that's all broken out.
Yeah, to see where the money's mm-hmm. going, rather than it's 75 grand. Mm-hmm. Well,
for
what am I getting for 75?
What are you getting?
Yeah, yes. Exactly, and mm-hmm. to understand where things are broken down is like I just took my 10-year-old minivan in for service, and they hit me with the line item of it's going to be $1,500 to do this, and they're like 75 for the air filters and whatever, and I'm like, 70, I'll do that myself, thank you, and I did. But it was helpful to see what they were talking about and go, I don't want that piece. And for people on the material side, or like you said, if you're adding some specialty mm-hmm. thing into that kitchen, go, oh, wow, that little appliance garage is going to cost me $1,200. Maybe I don't want that. But if you break it all down...
They have the option to scale back at that point. Yes.
Yes. Right. And decide again, what is their budget dollars?
Where are your priorities? What is most important to you?
Yeah. Speaking of appliance garages, do you have people doing that?
Like
old appliance garages?
Oh yeah. Appliance garages are great. I
think they're great. I wish I had one. And I keep looking about where could I add one, and it's not really a good option, but.
And you definitely should put a plug in it to plug that toaster in.
Yes. But make sure you've removed the toaster when you're operating it. There are people who are like, oh, it can just, no, we don't let it work in its little cubby space. What has been some of the most rewarding experiences for you? Or is there a customer that has stood out for you that you're like, oh, what a great experience that renovation was?
For me, it was early on in my career. I was hired by an elderly couple in the Warrington area. Okay. The project cost was around $375,000.
Okay.
Very, very big project, especially when I was just starting my business. Mm-hmm. The most important thing that stuck out to me was these customers saved for over 50 years to do this project.
Wow.
You know, they sacrificed vacations, the new car, the new clothes, maybe eating out one night.
Right.
And you don't see that too often. You don't see people save up for that project. And the most rewarding part of that is they waited so long to get their whole house renovation. It was a kitchen addition, outdoor living space, new living room, bathroom, etc.
Was it part of aging in place?
It was. Okay. Yeah, we had the grab bars. We we simplified the way they operated.
One floor living, all of that kind
of
stuff.
Yes, correct. Wow. That stuck out to me the most. And it was so rewarding to see that come together after 50 years of them imagining the renovation.
Wow. And what a really forward thinking. It's a shame that it took them so long, but the forward thinking of then we can stay here instead of being in that two-story house that they have to move out of because, the aging comes along.
I also love receiving the holiday photos of them enjoying the space
with
their family.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did a project in Ambler. The homeowners sent us a picture on Thanksgiving where from the kitchen we remodeled to the living area, they set up a table. There was probably 40 people at this table.
That's crazy.
Having Thanksgiving.
And they had that big open floor plan and they could all just
the smiles on their faces.
Oh, that's really
made it all worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, it's been 22 years, but what do you see for the 5-year plan?
The five-year plan is a mixture of remodeling our showroom, right? Bringing those healthy features into our showroom, technology. But we have bigger things imagined for Car Home. We imagine ourselves doing communities from ground up, building from ground up projects.
I could see
that's
you doing
what we're really, over the last couple of years, we've been putting things in place to do that in the very near future.
That's cool. All right, last thing. If you could be a tool, what would it be and why?
If I could be a tool, that's a great question. Probably a coping saw.
Just a bust on me.
No, because it's a very unique tool. You cannot pick up a regular saw and cope a piece of crown molding.
It has a very specific task.
It has to bend, it has to flex, and it has to be versatile.
Excellent answer, Colby. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And as always, just remember that doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone. And there are great pros that can help you make those dreams of your home renovation come true.